Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to a new edition of Rhymes, Views, and News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Duawa Frazier, and today I have best-selling author, speaker, and producer, Rashonda Tate Billingsley, will be here. Award-winning author Rashonda Tate Billingsley is the national best-selling author of more than 40 books. She writes for both adults and teens, as well as she writes fiction and nonfiction. Several of her books have been optioned for movies, including her sophomore novel, Let the Church Say Amen, directed by actress Regina King and produced by T.D. Jakes and Queen Latifah. Rashonda made her on-screen movie debut in the film, which aired in August 2015 and was one of BET's highest-rated original programs. Two more of Rashonda's books have become or will air on television, TV One's The Secret She Kept, which Rashonda also makes an appearance in, which recently aired this past week, and The Devil is a Lie, airing in fall of 2016. A highly sought-after motivational speaker and award-winning poet, Rashonda is the recipient of the NAACP Image Award for Outstanding Literature. Author Victoria Christopher Murray is the co-founder of Brown Girls Books, a boutique publishing company aimed at producing quality books from fresh voices and fan favorites. The company boasts a roster of more than 40 authors. Rashonda and Victoria are also the founders of Writers Pro, which provides digital and live workshops to help new, established, and veteran writers take their talents to the next level. Visit Rashonda Tate Billingsley for more information. Let's pick up with Rashonda right now. Hi, am I speaking with Rashonda?
You are. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you so much. I am so excited to talk with you today. Rashonda, I've been following you and your career for many years, and let me just say you're quite an inspiration, not only for readers, but for writers like myself who are still emerging. And I just want to say congratulations for all of your success as an author, speaker, and producer.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, I know that you recently had a huge showing and accomplishment of your work as many, many people watched the airing of The Secret She Kept on TV One this past week, airing July 10th, and also airing once again a few days ago. And so I wanted to start with that and ask your reaction and thoughts about the responses you received on social media and as well as in recent events, what people have said to you about that.
Yeah, I am so proud of this movie. TV One did an excellent job, the director, the writer, the entire cast and crew. And, you know, it really touched me because it took the essence of my story and dealing with mental health and put it out to the masses in such a way that resonated with viewers. We have been getting rave reviews about this. And the volume of email that I've been getting just from people saying, thank you for telling this story, thank you for telling my story, just makes everything that I have done and hope to achieve with this book worthwhile.
Well, that is so true because I was one of the people watching Rashonda, and I was on the edge of my seat practically shouting and talking to the TV as I watched your very characters from print to film come to life. To really highlight the important issue of mental health wellness and how we really, when one person is ill in that regard, it affects so many other people around them. And I wanted to ask you, was that a difficult topic to write about? And do you feel that that's something that more black writers should rather explore in terms of reaching people with that topic?
Yes, you know, I have mental illness like a lot of African American families in my family. And like so many families, we just kind of brush it under the rug. We don't deal with it. And so that's what I really wanted to address that in both the movie and the books. And so, you know, it is a topic. B.B. Moore Campbell, in one of my most favorite books, tackled it. It was one of the best books ever in 72 Hour Hold. I think, you know, we can entertain as writers. But whenever there's an opportunity to educate in addition to entertaining, I definitely think we should take it.
That's so true and very important. I want to note that you do have such a wide and incredible range in your writing. I'm sure your readers constantly write you. I know you're involved with meeting with book clubs and traveling and touring. You have a award-winning co-author as well, Victoria Christopher Murray. And from the beginning of your career to now the present, I just want to ask you how you feel your range as a writer, a craftswoman of novels, has grown and changed over the years, and if you are influenced at all by current events and trends in our society.
You know, I have learned to be more of my authentic voice. One of the things in writing, I would kind of let the publisher, if they didn't really want to do that, except for when it came to, like, my second book, Let the Church Say Amen. I don't write Christian fiction, but because I am a Christian writing fiction, a lot of my faith resonates in my writing. And so I'm categorized a lot. And I did not want to seem like I was hopping on a bandwagon of Christian fiction being hot. And so I did allow the publisher in the beginning to try and guide me in a different direction. But then, you know, the more I grew as a writer, I just decided to remain my authentic self. And that's when my career took off, when I stayed true to my voice. And, you know, as I continue to grow, that's what I do. And I am a journalist by trade, a former television news reporter. So current events are a part of my life. My book, Mama's Boy, deals with videotaping of police and a young black man who accidentally shoots a white police officer. Well, I wrote that three years ago. And so I think, you know, it's a mirror into what is going on now. But I'm writing them, you know, as they're happening. The book that I'm currently working on is called The House That Hate Built, and I've been working on it for several months, and it deals with the mass shooting. So unfortunately, a lot of what I write ends up coming to reality, but I am just holding a mirror up to society.
Wow, that is so true. And I wanted to also mention you have a new book release, The Perfect Mistress, as well as you and Victoria Christopher Murphy continue to build your publishing under Brown Girls Books. Please feel free to discuss your current projects and what you're moving forward with.
Yes, I have The Perfect Mistress is my newest release, and it is about a woman that learns how to be, quote-unquote, the perfect mistress because she accompanied her father on his extramarital affairs when she was a little girl, and how that affected her relationship with her mother and then herself when she became an adult. And one of the things, I write layered stories, and so I am not writing a book glorifying mistresses at all. I've been married 20 years. That's not anything I would ever do. But what I wanted to do, though, was show I'm a big motivation person. And so I wanted to show this woman that had chosen that as her path to be mistresses, where that came from. And it came from a father not realizing his actions were corrupting his daughter. And then I wanted to deal with the mother-daughter dynamic of a mother blaming her daughter for knowing this and in her mind, helping destroy her marriage. So I explore a lot of family dynamics. and just the whole issue of what makes a person into who they are, and that's with The Perfect Mistress. And then Victoria and I have a book coming out. It actually will be out in April of next year called A Blessing and a Curse, and it's the final book in the Rachel Jasmine series.
Oh, wow. I know your readers are really looking forward to that. Now, how far in advance can your readers purchase any pre-order and get advanced copies of your book?
Well, they pre-order, but they don't release them until the book actually comes out. Now, if they're on my mailing list, we do give away advanced copies of my books when a couple of months before they actually come out, but they have to be on my mailing list for that.
Okay, wonderful. And Rashonda, you recently had an event at the Hemphill Branch Library this past Saturday. Can you tell us about that event and how you were connecting with your readers?
Yes, it was a Brown Girls Books event. It was presenting our authors. And one of the things that I love about my publishing company is just giving that opportunity to new and rising authors. And so we held an event. It was a packed house. It was wonderful. And our young authors, Morgan Billingsley and Jackie Lee, were there with their books. Lachelle Weaver has a new book out, and I was so proud of her because it was her debut book event. And then we had other authors on our roster, Jacqueline Thomas, Cassandra Durham. So it was a great experience and exposure for readers to meet some of our Brown Girls authors.
Oh, that's wonderful. And knowing that after realizing that your books, you have 40 books under your belt, you and Victoria Murphy boast a roster of 40 authors, quite interesting number, 40. I just want to ask you, what has been your tireless motivation in being a prolific author and then continuing to sort of reach back and help other authors by having your own publishing venture?
You know, I believe every minute you spend talking about what you don't have time to do could be spent doing it. So I utilize all of those spare moments to do everything that I do. And that's kind of my motivation. My motivation is that there's no limit to my dreams. And so
wow.
If I want to write nonfiction, then I feel like I can. I remember there I was in the 10th grade, and we had to I met with a counselor, and she wanted to know what I wanted to be. And I said an author, an anchor, and an actress. And she said, well, this isn't kindergarten. You have to choose one. You can't do all of those things. And I've always been a why not. Why can't I do all of those? Now, I wish I could find that lady because I'd say, how you like me now?
Exactly. I love that. They say success is the best revenge, and you
right.
are certainly personifying that.
Thank you so much.
And so, Rashonda, now with the invention, or rather the new trend in book reading with, you know, now we have the Kindle and the Nook readers and audiobooks, and people are accessing their books any way they can in our fast-paced living and whatnot. What are some of the ways that you reach your readers or strive to reach your readers in non-conventional or traditional ways off the page, so to speak?
Well, I definitely am an advocate for social media. I believe in getting out and sharing the world, through social media. And then I get out in front of people. I travel a lot. I do a lot of events, and I make sure that I'm out and getting up close and personal with readers.
Well, that's wonderful. And do you have a particular book club or readers group that you and or Victoria Christopher Murray are very linked with or have some ongoing relationship with, that it's like when you have a book coming, they get a sneak peek or they get, you know, the official trailer first or things like that?
Oh, I wouldn't dare begin naming names because that list is extensive. You know, we we have the success that we have because of the support of book clubs. Book clubs have been there for both Victoria and I and Brown Girls since day one. And so before the world knew who we were, we had book clubs there supporting us, and that's the reason the world knows who we are. And so I really do. I'm so grateful for the love and support of book clubs. But I, even when I name them in my acknowledgement section of my books, I'm like, I know I'm forgetting somebody. So to, just overall, in general, we have amazing support.
Wow. And I also want to ask, this is just for people who really are like striving to get started or even finish that book. Can you name or list any strategies, maybe even two or three, that you might suggest for people who are dealing with a writer's block or a feeling unsure about a project or just even needing to buckle down and get disciplined with finishing a work?
You know, you have to, again, is that life will get in the way. And so you can't let excuses your creativity. I never get writer's block. I write through writer's block. The best invention ever was the delete key. So you have to just keep going, because if you sit down and you tell yourself you have writer's block, you're going to go start doing laundry, and then you're going to wash dishes, and then, you know, you're always going to find something else to do. Writing is about the discipline of writing. And so you have to set a small goal, whether it's, for me, it was 3 pages a week, 5 days a week, no matter what. Victoria Christopher Murray always says hers was 1 word a day. But once you get started and you get that discipline, then you'll find your words just flowing.
Wow. And that's certainly very wise advice. Now, I want to note that we have someone on the line, and perhaps someone who wants to ask you a question, Rashonda. Do you mind if I pick them up and see if they have a question or comment for you?
Yes. Go right ahead.
Okay, great. Hi, you're on the line with Rhymes, Muse, and News Talk Radio. Do you have a question or comment for author Rashonda Tate Billingsley?
Yes, I do. My name is Frances McIntyre Freeman, and I'm in Houston, Ms. Billingsley, and I've read a number of your books, and I'm so just in awe with your work. Actually, you
thank you.
My cousin, Eddie Wayne Brown, and, you know, he talks about you all the time, too. And I was like, I know her. I read those books. Like, I went to school with her. Yes. But my mother died a couple of years ago, and I started writing a nonfiction Christian book. And I've always been an avid reader, but I never thought I even liked writing. But when my mom died, all these words start popping in my head to put on the paper. And I'm writing a book now, and I'm just curious, as a nonfiction book, what is an average amount of material, or when do you know, okay, my book is done, or I've done to that part?
Yeah, once you feel your story is told, you really have to cut it off, because you will keep rewriting for 8 years. You will always think of ways you could tell a story better. So you really do have to have a cutoff point. Once you feel like you've told the story and you can wrap it up, then you have to cut it off. You know, I've seen people that are like, well, I'm still working on it. You have to keep in mind, most readers aren't going to read more than 350, 400 pages. So you can't keep going.
How many words? Does it go on the words or the number of pages?
Well, I hesitate to say words, and here's why. Because if I tell you it should be 50,000 words and your story is complete at 40, like there's nothing else to tell after the 40, then you start trying to reach for words and make up words.
Okay.
The only thing that should go into your book are words that matter. So, but anything, I can tell you, anything under 40,000 words, the reader starts feeling like they're not getting a value for their money.
Okay. That's a very good point. Caller, thank you so much. I'm going to go ahead and mute you so I can finish with my questions for Rashonda, but I hope you will continue to listen in.
Without a doubt. Thank you, Rashonda, so much. I bless you, and we love you in Houston forever.
Thank you so much. Tell Eddie hello.
I will.
Thank you. And, Rashonda, that was some excellent advice you gave, and it's so interesting that many writers often try to research, well, how many words do I need to get to? And, you know, there's so much different advice on the Internet about word count and word count per genre. And, you know, I think you said yes, that you have to know when the story has reached its end, but just also make sure that you're not under telling your story for the reader.
Right, because, you know, I recently had someone send me a book, and their book was, it had to be 6,000 words. Well, that's not a book.
Well, that's like a short story, right?
Right. And so
If
you're asking people to buy this, you still have to give them their money's worth.
So while there's no set number of words you should have, for instance, with a publisher, my publisher will tell me, my contract says that my books have to be at least 80,000 words. These are full-length novels. Well, sometimes I'll turn in a little bit under 80,000 words. Sometimes I may turn in 90,000. It just depends on the range.
Now, can I also ask you, does that also ensure, when you mentioned the 80,000, that, you know, your editor is, your publisher may even cut it down some. Does that take that into account as well? Okay.
No, I mean, the 80,000 is just what you should turn in. An editor may get rid of, but if an editor gets rid of 20, then you need to rework it and get those numbers back up. Just because, again, this is what an amount I charge for my book, so the reader has to feel like they're getting their money's worth.
Right. And so, Rashonda, getting back to you, we watched the wonderful Secret She Kept, the film adaptation of your novel, and you also have another one coming out in film this fall. Can you talk to us about that process, not necessarily giving any legal secrets or things away, but more so, is that something that you were sort of inspired by, or did someone say, hey, I think this book would be great on film? Who makes that decision, and how do you know which books to kind of choose that are going to go to film and which books aren't?
Well, you know, they come and they express interest in my books. I got my first movie deal with Let the Church Say Amen, and so then you get on their radar from that. And so I just continued to write good books and had people talking about it. So they wanted Let the Church Say Amen because it was a book that a lot of people talked about. It was one of my most popular and best-selling books. So that's how I get on their radar with that particular book. And then, once one network has you or one person in Hollywood, then I just had their attention. And so TV1 wanted a book that resonated with their female viewers. And so we chose The Secret She Kept. If I go, we had interest from Lifetime. Well, they wanted a more romantic suspense book. Well, I have a book called A Good Man Is Hard to Find, and that was the one that Lifetime was looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you kind of just look at what resonates with that particular station's viewers or the producer if they're trying to go to theater.
Sure. And also, do you, at that time, when you are going through that process, taking a book from print to film, is it all consuming? Are you still able to write and be an artist? Are you now putting on a number of other more business-related hats? What is that space like for you?
Oh, no, I'm definitely still writing because that's still my bread and butter. I'm still a novelist. So I'm doing that, you know, that's my day job. Now, what I did, I was with a legitimate publisher, I mean, producer, so they allowed me to shadow, but usually they buy the author's books and send them on their way. So, but I was blessed with Regina King to be able to be involved with the process. So, but I still was having to do my day job, which is being an author and running a publishing company.
Yes. And what's interesting is, although we haven't had a whole lot of black writers to foray into that, you know, I think back to, you know, Alice Walker with The Color Purple, and then there's been, you know, Terry McMillan with her books that we know of that went to film. Are there any other writers, per se, that have served as a formal or informal mentor for you in your career, whether it's just writing or taking the books to film?
Well, no. I mean, what I have had is a lot of support from my colleagues in the industry. From the time I first started, when I first got in the business, I sent an email to Karen Quinones Miller, a very talented author.
Oh, yeah.
I sent an email to quite a few authors. A lot of people didn't respond, and a lot of times it's just because they don't check their emails but once a month. But Karen responded immediately, got on the phone with me, and she sat on the phone with me for about 2 hours walking me through things. And so I really appreciated that. And so I've had that kind of support throughout my career, and, you know, I haven't had another author to talk to in terms of the movie. But, like, Carlene Bryce had a movie made on Lifetime.
And Demi
Milner.
Yeah.
Yes, Orange Men and Honey.
Oh, yeah.
And then Demi Milner with The Vow.
With This Vow or With This Ring. Demi,
yes.
Yes. Okay, that's right. Wonderful. And those are two authors who are very, like yourself, involved with social media. I follow them as well, and they're always, you know, interacting with readers and whatnot.
You know, and
I know a
lot of authors think they don't really need to be on social media, but I'm going to tell you, every movie producer that I've dealt with goes to my social media page. They go to my social media page. They look at my interaction with people. They look at how many followers and how many friends I have. They do all because they're doing their homework, because making a movie is only half the journey. The other is getting people to watch and to tune in. And if you have 12 friends on social media, they're like, well, you know, it's going to be a waste of time for us to market this. We want to market people who market themselves.
You know, that's so valuable to note. That you just mentioned, you know, social media is now part of the industry. If you're an author, just like some years ago, I remember when they said it's imperative that you have a website. And then they said if you're an author, it's imperative that you have a blog. Then it's imperative that you have a Facebook. Well, now it's imperative you have Twitter.
Yeah, you've got to have social. Even with Brown Girls now, we get so many submissions. So if I'm down to the wire and we only have 3 spots, and I have 5 manuscripts I'm trying to decide, and they're all equally good, then my next step is I go to social media, and I see their engagement, because that tells me as a publisher that they're going to market and work their, you know, try to market their books. Again, if they're not on social media, I'm going, well, how are they going to sell their books? Because we don't, people don't get out and do book tours anymore. How will these people sell their books?
Right. And, you know, your average reader may not live, you know, next door to you. This person could be in another state or even in another country. So how are you going to reach them?
Right, right.
Rashonda, I had no idea. We have less than a minute out. I just want to thank you so much. It's been a great conversation. So inspired by you and really wishing you continued success in all of your creative endeavors, no matter what you do. Thank you for this opportunity to talk with you.
Thank you so much for having me. And have a good day.
And I will look, thank you, you too. And I was just speaking with Rashonda Tate Billingsley. Please visit her website at RashondaTateBillingsley.com. Also, follow Ms. Tate Billingsley on Twitter at R-E-S H-O-N-D-A-T, Rashonda T. I was live tweeting during our radio interview, and check out all of her recent books. Thank you again for joining me.